Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
We have quite a group here also online. We welcome them too to our service. As you look in the bulletin, would you please turn your bulletins? I always like sometimes to explain what we try to send a message with a picture. Every single time we put a picture here, we are trying to give you a hint of what the sermon is all about. BC and AC. And what is between? The difference. Right? What is between? The difference. What it makes the difference between what comes before and what is after. Now, if you look at the middle of the Bible, there is a key there too. The Bible is the key. Christ is the key for us to discern what is before and what is after. So that's why we call the title for the message today, the BC and AC periods, or period means time or moment. Okay, so have that in mind as we continue with the message. Again, the title for the message is the BC and AC periods. Now, when you see a number like 645, and then there is a BC, what that means? 645 years before the promise was fulfilled. Before the difference maker showed up. And then everything changes. History changed, the world changed, the universe changed. Sometimes because we are humans, we only think about this earth. But this event actually changed the whole universe. That's how much a difference that moment was. For those who call themselves Christians, and by the way, not everyone who says, I am a Christian, actually is a Christian. And I would not spend time criticizing anybody else. We all are intelligent enough to know the difference between what is a Christian and what is not. If you want to find out what Jesus' opinion is, just read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23, and you see what all this means, okay? Jesus tells the difference. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but those who does my will. So there is a distinction between who is a Christian and who claims to be a Christian. Anybody can call themselves a cat, but they don't meow. Anybody can bark a lot and yet doesn't make you a dog. And so people can claim whatever they want in life. That's a choice that we all have. And sometimes we make bad choices. And sometimes we claim good names. And we think that just to have a good name is enough. And that applies to all of us as well. Sometimes we claim to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And yet we do not believe in everything the Seventh-day Adventist Church believes. Is that possible? Some people believe it is, but that's not the case. BC, of course, is stand before Christ. And then AC is stand for after Christ, right? Then they have also BC, before Christ, and some use AD, you know? Yes, which means in the year of the Lord. That is a typical. Now, those that do not want anything to do with religion, they add a common error, all the things. But that's not what we like to address today, so we're just going to forget that part. For biblical Christians, where are they? Thank you, Brother Jett. Just raise your hand. For the biblical Christians, yeah, the Lord wants to see your hand. Your guardian angel is doing like this. Put your hand there, you're out. Yes, it's good to participate. And that's why I sometimes ask you to manifest your faith, because we need to exercise. I, to tell you the truth, if I would be sitting there and says, who are the biblical Christians? I would do like this. You know, we have to be modest for other reasons, but for this one, you have to be. Raise your hand. So, for the biblical Christians, it means before Christ, and we'll tell you what that means, and after Christ. All right? So let's elaborate a little bit here. For biblical Christians before Christ also may becoming a Christian. So another meaning that I'd like for you to say. Before I became a Christian, before Christ, before I met the one who made a difference in my life. So think about this. Every single time from now on when you see BC, I want you to be thinking, before I became a Christian. Now you notice that I put a different color for Christ and a different color for the end of Christian. Now, Sister Cheryl knows what E-R-N means, right, Sister Cheryl? Yes, I'll tell you right now what that means. Notice how interesting is that. A-C is accepting Christ or acting Christ-like. So every time, once that you make met the difference, then after that, you have to act like Christ. Okay? Here is the E-N. Okay, it means God is gracious. Now, every single time you tell somebody that you are a Christian, I want you to remind yourself, I am a Christian because God is gracious. I hope that this never come out of your mind forever. Every single time you say, I am a Christian because God is gracious. Because without His grace, I would not be able to find Christ. To be with Christ. And you notice what a difference He makes? Yes, He is the one who made a difference in my life and everyone's life here. BC, before Christ, the Lord says, forget what happened before. And do not think about the past. Did you know that this verse was in the Bible? How come sometimes people drag their, like a huge bag they have tied on their legs and they keep walking like this? Let it go. Live a life that the Lord wants you to live. Let it go, the past. All that you have to do to get all that baggage out of your life is ask for forgiveness. And then the before Christ becomes after Christ. Once that you accept Christ, then you become as Christ. Next, we have BC means believes in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Anyone who believes and is baptized. So what about believing? Isn't believing good enough?
No.
The devil believes too.
Yeah.
And all his bunch of demons, they all believe. And that doesn't make them Christians. A lot of people believe. Believe is an essence of a person who has a reason. Every individual that has a reason believes in something, even in lies. But that's not the kind of belief. A belief that leads you to die for Christ, because that's what baptism is all about. You die for Christ, and then when you come out of the water, you are new in Christ. He says, we'll be saved, and we'll have eternal life. But anyone who refused to be baptized, by the way, I have studied with people for years. Some people I studied for more than 10 years with them. Always studying with them. Every single time that I met them, we study about something, and they still have not been baptized. Why do they refuse to be baptized? Because that bag, they don't let it go. They got used to that, and they keep will be condemned. You know what condemned means? Will not have eternal life. Mark 16:16. And Brother Joseph mentioned today, I like this verse because always we were 16, when I was 16, you know the story. And it is about baptism. It says, if you believe, believe should push you towards baptism, a baptism towards salvation. It's not the baptism that saves. The baptism is evidence that now you are one in Christ. Now, BC believes and confess. If, isn't it wonderful? There are a lot of ifs in the Bible. You should, just to have an exercise, go through your Bible, whatever version you have, look at the ifs. You'll be amazed how much the Bible reveals everything that is after a if. If you confess, if you do this, if you do that. Last week we talked about some ifs. You know, if you do this, you have an everlasting life, long life, beautiful days. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then what happened? You will be saved. And this is to believe. BC stands for believes and confess. That's what is necessary. AC, after Christ. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. I sometimes hear people that come, are baptized, and just forgive me, this is going to sound a little bit gross, but just like a dog, they vomit and then they go back to their vomit. Sadly, some Christians come to baptism, but then they miss and they go back. Brothers and sisters, don't look back. Once that you made a commitment to be with one with Christ, don't look back. Remember the verse in Isaiah says, don't look the past. Let it go. Look forward, because that's what God has planned for you. The past is forgotten. Yes, because if you read 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, says, if we confess our sins, he will forgive how many of our sins? All. He will forget everything. So why should you remember? If God Almighty says he will forgive and forget, let it go. Sometimes we are more mean to ourselves than God is. We don't forgive ourselves and we think that God is not going to be able to do also. We need to forgive and forget. The past is forgotten and everything is new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, New Century Version. Next, we see after Christ. When we were baptized, yes, we were buried with Christ and shared his death. Talks about baptism. So just as Christ was raised from the dead by the wonderful power of the Father, meaning we are raised from the dead by the power of God also. It's God's grace that makes us come up. And we also can live a new life. After Christ, meaning we need to live a new life, not the old one. Romans 6, verse 4, New Century Version. Now, the next verse that we have, it says this, this is my body, which I am giving for you. It says, do this in remembrance of me. That's what Jesus Christ said. For biblical Christians, there is a BC, which is before communion, and there is an AC, which is after communion. What happens, what do we happen to do, what do we have to do before communion? Do you know what the Bible says that we must do before communion? Before communion, we have to be reminded that Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then he says this, no one comes to the Father except through me. What basically he's saying is this, you have no communion with God unless I am in you. Unless you, we take that step to accept and embrace Christ, there is no communion. There is the elements. You may wash your feet, you may take the bread, but there's no communion. You are to have communion. It has to be beyond the symbols. We have to have Christ in us and have him as our mediator. After communion, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man and humans, the man Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. He says, there is only one mediator. I was raised, my first few years in my life, I was taken to churches that were gorgeous. They were always beautiful. They have gold, and they have little artwork everywhere, the windows and the walls and the ceiling. They have a beautiful, and they have a, I, Peter, I, John, I, Mary, everywhere. They have a, and we have to pray. We pray for all those because we were told they are in heaven and they are the mediator between us and God. The Bible says there is only one. Only one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ. No one else can mediate between us and God. So we are to have communion with Him. After communion, Father, I pray that they can become one. The purpose of the communion is to celebrate the fact that God joins us as one. We all different. Different shapes, different color, different hair, different accent. We are different in every aspect. And yet, in Christ, we are all essential. We are all essential because God had made so by giving His Son in our behalf. As you are in me and I am in you, the key word here is in. Do you know what in means? If Christ is in you, meaning what? Let me give you more details. I pray that they can be one in us. Then the world will believe that you have sent me. Now, here's the next one that I'll give you what that in means. After communion, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me and I live in them. What that makes? A sanctuary. Doesn't the Bible say that we are the temple of the Holy One? And so that's what Jesus Christ is talking about. There is no communion unless you become a sanctuary, a temple. If you are not a temple of God, there is no communion. Nothing after. John 6, verse 56. Again, if we eat His flesh and we drink His blood, then He lives in us. And that's what makes a perfect communion. Brothers and sisters, B.C., he says this, before communion, we must read this and take this very serious. Everyone ought to examine themselves before communion. Why so important? Before communion, we must examine ourselves because there is no communion between light and darkness. We need to be a light in order to have light in us. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment to themselves. And that is a warning that Paul has given us. Beautiful text of Paul also says, thank God for His gift that words can describe. I'm going to take liberty to add a T to that his there. So I'll read like this. Thank God for this gift that words cannot describe. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Brothers and sisters, Jesus did say, do this in remembrance of me. It is Him in us, and that's what communion is all about. The word communion comes from with, meaning together, as one. That's the word communion means. Now, some people say, I'm going to be prepared for communion. I'm going to do foot washing. Let me say this to you. Foot washing is communion. It's part of the communion. The three elements, water, the bread, and the wine, form the three elements that are important for us to have communion with the Lord, with the Eternal One. Christ's invitation says, when He had finished washing their feet, and you know why Jesus Christ washed their feet? Because there was no higher servant there. They arrived, the tape was there. Everybody said, okay, who's going to serve? Isn't it typical throughout the ages we people still have the same attitude? Yes, who's going to serve? I'm ready. And Jesus went and took the master, took the position of a servant. And he started, and he washed the feet of the first one, didn't say a thing. The second one, nobody talked. You know, he knows what he's doing. If he was doing, that's fine. But somebody interrupted. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He says, do you understand what I have just done? Probably not. Not at that moment. Probably later. He asked them that question. And then he continued by saying, you call me teacher and Lord, and look, I'm become a servant. And right so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, I have become one with you, you also should wash one another's feet so you can become one with each other. In the same way, he said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. It's not an option, brothers and sisters. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who has sent him. Now that I you know those things, what should I do? You'll be blessed if you do them. Anybody here looking for blessings? I'm looking for them all the time. I spend 24 hours a day. Even when I'm sleeping, I'm hoping for blessings. So blessings, they can never be enough. So a person who has been baptized needs only to wash his feet. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. This is what Peter says. Something's wrong here. How come he is the master and he is being the servant? We all servants and we are being served. No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus Christ said this to him. Unless I wash you, Peter, you have no communion with me. And so he says, oh, Lord Jesus, not only my feet wash me all over. And then Jesus said this, and I want you to for you to understand this. If you already have washed through baptism, all you need is to renew the vows of your baptism. That's what the foot washing is all about. It is a renew of your vows. So every single time you participate in a foot washing, you are saying before God, yes, Lord, thank you for your life and death, and thank you for your redemption. So at this time, we're going to go for a foot washing. If you look in the bulletin, it tells you the multipurpose room here is